SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
This is the Fantasy Baseball Prospect Podcast, Prospect 1. Hello, friends. I'm Chris Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, on Instagram at the same handle, and of course over at InThisLeague.com. That is where the new update is coming. In only a mere 4 or 5 days. That's right. Probably early next week on Monday or Tuesday, we're going to have the top 500 prospect update. We're going to have the dynasty update. We are going to have the first year player update. And I still have all the other great stuff like the P1 ADPs, which will be kicking back off soon. That's right. We're going to be doing a March edition probably in about 2 weeks. And the way we fill it, and the way that you can get in the Prospect One GroupMe rooms, hanging out, talking prospects, starting leagues, whatever it is going to InThisLeague.com. That is the Patreon. That's how you can support the podcast and get all of my work. So come and check it out. InThisLeague.com. Come and sign up today on Patreon. $5 will get you access to the ranks. $10 will get you in the GroupMe rooms. You have access to me and a whole bunch more. And if you did, I would be very, very grateful. Today on the episode is a great one. We are back with a player interview, and it is a doozy. Arizona Diamondbacks, Drew Jones. Yep. We got Drew Jones in a very cool interview, which I'm going to tell you about here in just a couple minutes. It's about 8 minutes long, which is, that's pretty good. You know, it's nice when I can get full sit downs like on Zoom and stuff like that. But when you get in person, 5 minutes is usually like a push. 8 minutes is pretty good. So this is a pretty good sized interview with Drew Jones, where we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff, which I will tell you about. On the back end, we're going to talk about spring. We're going to talk about some of the prospects, some of the guys that have been succeeding. I want to give you some of my thoughts on players. A lot of questions around Jordan Walker. We've seen some of the top pitchers get in there. There's just a lot of stuff, and I figured let's hone in on a few things. There's also some news out there, and the WBC is about to create a really interesting situation with prospects as well, because, you know, Eno Saris from The Athletic, I'm doing rates and barrels, obviously, and we've been talking about last couple episodes about playing time opportunities and at-bat leaders, and sometimes it can be a one-for-one, and it can like lead to obvious new playing time. But the other thing to think about here is, yes, you're going to get new playing time with a lot of players, but there's just going to be so much opportunity because guys are leaving. Guys are going and playing in the WBC that it is going to be hard to like fully gauge on some teams, like, is this prospect worthwhile and going to break camp? Here's an example. Jackson Merrill, which ironically, Jackson Merrill is going to have to find a new position because you now have Xander Bogaerts locked up. They locked up Manny Machado for 11 years, and they've got a whole lot of other work to do, but that essentially kind of took off his spot, so it would have to be a second base. Here's my point. If we like to read into a whole lot of playing time, Ha-Sung Kim gone, Bogaerts gone, Machado gone, Juan Soto gone. I mean, all of these guys except Tatis are gone off this roster. The Padres just signed Rougned Odor. I mean, that's the level that we're at right now, where they're trying to get live bodies in. Jackson Merrill's probably going to play a lot, and we might be able to read something into it. What is interesting about him is he's also one of those guys that it doesn't feel like the timeline is closer, but there's a lot of talk that this year would have been the year he comes up. The question is just where. You know, is it going to be at the expense of Ha-Sung Kim? No, but the Padres are going to get a bigger, way bigger, more extensive look at him. And what is more fascinating to me is if they were to decide to put him at second base, where that would be the spot he'd get time. Probably not, because Bogaerts isn't there. They'll probably throw him at short, and they'll just get a nice extended look and see what they have, but they're not going to be pressed for it. So my only point is like, it might even be just a tad bit harder to read the room as far as like, you know, what prospects because of playing time are going to get pushed up. But the positive is more opportunity depending the team. You know, like the Rockies, I think, are sending like two guys, you know, but the Padres are sending half their team, it seems like. So, you know, not every team is created equal as far as the players that they're sending out for the WBC, but I will be out on the backfields and hopefully reporting as much as I possibly can. So we're going to talk about a few of the top performances, my thoughts as far as how ranks are still going, and You know, I will tell you, I feel like a lot of the guys that I have kind of been on, I want to call it like an island, but like that I'm very vocal about, getting a lot of pub right now. Like everybody is kind of turning. We'll talk about actually specifically one of those. His name might rhyme with Schmicky Schmiedemann, that everybody now is like, oh, he's over this guy. And we've been saying that for quite a little bit here. This episode is also brought to you by Fantrax. Go and check out Fantrax today, the number one dynasty platform. That's right. All the customization. When I do my P1 ADPs, I can do it with Fantrax because I can make a prospect-only pool. I can't do that anywhere else. You have to have the veterans in there. Essentially, the dynasty world is your oyster with what you want to do. They've got the app, they've got all the flexibility, and they are literally the place for dynasty. So go and check them out today. Go to fantrax.com/inthisleague. Use that URL because when you do, you're going to be entered in. Now, I got to talk with them because they had a Vladimir Guerrero contest going on that may have ended, but they've got their new fan experience where they're going to be sending one fan out, I believe, to a game and probably some of their friends. It's a crazy contest. The way you get entered is going to fantrax.com/inthisleague. Start a new league, move your league, which they'll help you about, and sometimes they'll take care of the dues. Whatever you got to do, go to fantrax.com/inthisleague. Support Prospect One when you do so. So let's set the stage for Drew Jones. So I'm doing a show. I'm actually doing The Athletic. I'm doing Rates and Barrels. And I get an email. And it's from Nando DeFino and Brendan Funson. And they go, hey, we know you like collectibles and cards and stuff like that. We've got this opportunity that Topps, or Fanatics, is out there in Phoenix right now because of spring training. And they've created what is called the Topps Spot. What it was, how I've described it, is it's like a content house. It was a mansion. It's a big mansion. And what they're doing is they were setting up and bringing all the cards of players that are out here. And they're inviting all these players to come and just sign their cards. And I don't know if listening, you might not be familiar with like what goes on with like trading cards and stuff like that. These guys have a gajillion cards to sign.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Get it! You know, sometimes they'll have Tops like go to the clubhouses during the year and stuff like that. Sometimes they mail them in like boxes and these guys have to do it. And sometimes you're just beholden to when they do it. So Tops decided they were going to just, you know, create a house out here in Phoenix, Scottsdale, actually. It was Phoenix. It was near my old job, as a matter of fact. And they had this mansion and they invited players and they weren't really sure how it was going to go. And it ended up being big. They got, the day I went, there were, I don't know, probably circulated 100 plus players the day before. There was that. There was, I think, double that the final day. It was 3 days and they're inviting these players. They're trying to create a scene. They had like a barber shop, all this stuff. And they're trying to get players to get there. And then guys were starting to get into it. Apparently, like word was spreading about why they wanted to get out there. So I'm like, yeah, I like that stuff. And they also said I'd have access to somebody and I had no idea who was there. So the next day I'm over at Reds camp. It's the coldest, windiest day, kind of moseying around trying to see anything. And I get this text that they say, okay, we got the player for you. You're going to have access to Drew Jones. And I'm like, let's go. I mean, couldn't have picked a better guy for me. And I was the only one that interviewed him too. I was the only one set up for that. I think there were probably players for other days and whatnot. So last Thursday, I head on out and I go to this Topps House mansion and it is pretty wild. It's like a full on glass house and I start getting walked through and they're showing me the back and I shared pictures in our Patreon if you want to check it out. I might have also put it on my Instagram if you want to see a few pictures. They take me to the back and they show me that they got, I don't even know how to describe it. Remember, this is a mansion. So it's like a casita house or something. And they turned it into a barber shop for the players. And they said that they actually hired the barbers from The Shop, which is that, I think it's an HBO show with like LeBron and everything. So they hired some of the barbers from there and players could, you know, get a haircut or whatever. I didn't see any players doing it until a little bit later, but I thought that was an interesting thing. So then she's showing me around, and downstairs we've got a few players, not really recognizing anybody because it's tables of guys. We go upstairs, and I actually talk with Dominic Canzone, who's with the Arizona Diamondbacks, who I actually really like. Ironically, on the Baseball America Summit that I did last Saturday, which I think you can go still check out, Jeff had us do our like top 10 biggest deep sleepers, and we ended right before I was going to talk about Dominic Canzone. And I did throw a little thing out there because I had like all these Dominics. And I talked to Dominic Canzone, and he was pretty jazzed up because this was like his first card, and he's a little bit older of a prospect, and he was signing. Still didn't recognize anybody. Then I'm standing and I look out and I see Kumar Rocker walking, only person, and he had just come back from the barber place. So I'm like, oh, so Kumar took advantage of that. Then we walk downstairs and I'm talking with the Topps exec, and he's talking about, you know, players that I like, and I'm like, oh, Bobby Witt, Julio, Corbin Carroll's one of my favorite. And he's like, oh, Corbin's here. And I'm like, what? Turnover. Corbin Carroll's at the end, which I shared a video of. I also shared a couple of videos on our Patreon and our collect. We have a collector's room as well. I shared some of this. I actually go over and I talk to Corbin for a second, said hi. God knows, doesn't really remember me. I did give him the reference of why he would remember me, but it was just like, he's like, oh, hey, I'll probably get the hell out of here. And it's all interesting. Throughout the day, ended up seeing Daniel Montesino, Darmis Garcia. Matt Mervis came in, which I tweeted about, that he ended up signing his card. It took a little bit, but then Drew Jones showed up. So I go upstairs, and when they got there, the mistake they had was Drew just immediately went up and started signing. And they're like, ooh, he's signing. And it was kind of a little dicey. And I'm just like, I'm not in a hurry. Let's go. So we go upstairs. I'm filming a little bit. And then I stand there, and the top exec says, oh, hey, you know, Chris, this is Drew. Drew, this is Chris. We're going to be chatting. And, you know, shakes my hand. We say hi. He's going through some of the cards, and we just wait for a little bit for him to kind of finish the stack. What's fascinating, if you're a card person, and I'm going to be putting an article, I'm going to try to put this article together for The Athletic, was the last card he signed before we went was his Superfractor. And if you don't know what that is his one of one. It's the, you know, rarest card. It'll be the most expensive card. He signed it, and then I got to take a picture of it, and then we go down. We go down into what they had as like the content room. And it was just like weird. And that I actually have a little bit beforehand. I think I cut from this interview, but like we walk into this, like, I don't know, it's almost like a closet, but it's got like, you know, black lining everywhere and cameras and lights. And we were both like, oh, okay. And they grab a seat, and that's the setup for the interview in this content house. And it like I said, it was very trippy. A lot of young guys, they had a few games, they had food, you know, they had stuff that was trying to entice you, valet parking. They were trying to create a scene. And as I told them, it seemed like it was a content house because Topps was also had a social media team. One reason you could see it. The next day, Randy Johnson actually agreed to go to the house, but it was as his photographer, but he did some content for Topps. So you could see the house there. I would have been there, but I'll tell you in just a little bit why I wasn't there, because I was with a couple other prospects in another way. So that's the setup of getting to talk to Drew. This interview is kind of twofold. It's first half really about him, and the second half is kind of talking about his history, if anything, with like cards and stuff like that. Did he collect the Superfractor, autographs in general? We're at the Topps house, so that's, you know, why it's there. But there's some interesting stuff in here. We get to talk about the injury. We get to talk about his timeline. My favorite is bringing up is that famous moment that all those kids were just booing him relentlessly, and then he just crushed a homer to shut everybody up. That's my favorite in this. So enjoy, hopefully, my interview. A little over 8 minutes. It is me and number two overall pick and one of the top prospects in the system. Probably your first-year player pick, Diamondbacks outfielder Drew Jones.
Hey, well, this is Drew Jones. Love the Prospect One podcast. Keep up the good work, but you better have me at number one for the next ranking. See you in Arizona. Go D-backs. Go!
Prospect One.
You want to know a funny story? I don't expect you to remember this, and this is okay. You're in Cameo?
Yeah.
So I host a show called Prospect One.
Yeah.
And a listener of mine actually commissioned you to do a video for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And it was like a cool video. Yeah. You're just like, hey, what's up, Chris? What's up, Welsh?
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. Hope you have a good one and everything like that. So all comes together here. How you feeling?
Feeling good. Kind of just getting back
to doing more baseball stuff and just getting healthy.
Yeah, shoulder.
Yeah, good. It's getting better. Yeah.
Did you ever take any time and, like, chat with Lawler and Carroll about the experience they had with the shoulder injuries?
Yeah, they just right away, like as soon as I knew, I just kind of connected with them and talked to them, and just they asked me, and they just said stay the course, just like everybody else's.
Yeah, interesting. Jordan kind of had a similar thing where he only got like two games in, yeah. I think, a professional ball, and they got knocked out. I was actually at that game before he got knocked out. Yours was during, was it during BP?
During batting practice, yeah. It was just unfortunate. One little slip up. But.
Was like mentally kind of tough, like in the first experience out that happening?
I've never really been had a significant injury or like a lot of time off of baseball. So I just kind of took it it's time off for me and just to make sure to get my body healthy and things like that.
Yeah, that's definitely, it's like the first test.
Yeah.
Like the first one that's got to be like kind of jar. Was it a little bit jarring?
A little bit, but I mean, it happens. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, also you obviously have like the experience in the family and everything with your dad, but did he give you any advice through the whole process?
He just said, just follow what the people are saying, like do the rehab and just don't try and rush anything. Don't try and push yourself to do anything that you can't do.
What's the plan for spring training and like the opening of the year?
Just kind of starting with the team. It kind of just depends on what everybody thinks and what everybody says. It's kind of just like seeing like how I'm doing and how I'm feeling.
Are you going to be in any minor league spring training games?
I think so. Hopefully.
Sweet. I'm excited to see that. That'll be really good. Have they not told you like low A or
not
complex?
Sure yet.
Or?
No, just kind of just staying the course, just seeing what they say.
Do you have any personal goals? Obviously, health, you want to kind of get under, get your real first professional experience, but any like even statistical or any goals that you want to hit this year?
Not really. Just play my game and just keep moving up the ranks as fast as possible. If I play well, then I'll move up. So that's all that matters, just playing well.
That's cool. Have there been any guys that have like taken you under your wings or you've kind of really locked into? I told you when we were upstairs, I told Corbin that you were coming and he like popped up. He got really excited. Yeah. He's like, Drew's here? And I'm like, no, he's coming. And then you kind of did the same thing. You're like, oh, where's Corbin? Yeah. Have you like hooked up with him?
Yeah, we've connected. We've had dinner once. Just when I got back out here late January. I mean, obviously, those guys, those are the guys you look up to. Those are the guys that you're going to, be behind for the entire time you're playing with. And then hopefully you get to play with them at the next level. So just trying to, follow those guys and follow their path.
I'm dying to know that viral video that went out when you were in high school where all the dudes are just like, boo, whatever. And then you just crush this homer.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's in this league.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make
in this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
What was going on with that? What was that feeling?
It was just, I mean, it's something you'll never really like have again. I feel like a lot of the time, like there's not that, like fans don't really yell at players that much. Or if it's like one fan or something like that, it's not 75 students that are like 20 feet behind you, you know? So it's one of those moments you'll never like have again. But I mean, it was just an experience that you just kind of got to take it in and just live in the moment.
It's like one of the best ever.
Yeah.
Did anybody after that ever like boo or say anything?
Yeah, a couple times. I mean, obviously, if you go and play away, like you're gonna have student sections and things like that talking trash, but nothing. I mean, nothing like that.
You just get that framed and be like billboard.
Yeah,
like, billboard, baby. Billboard.
Yeah, just scoreboard or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Scoreboard on that. So. Thank you for talking to me just about what's going on with you. I'm a Diamondbacks fan. I'm a U fan. I'm excited to have you here. This is really interesting. We've been talking about like the Topps house. You just signed your first Bowman card, which is super cool. And we actually just took a picture with your Superfractor. Do you collect? Have you ever collected?
No, I haven't really got into it, but I think I'm going to start now that I'm kind of signing cards and things like that. And I'd see a bunch of my friends are getting cards too. So just being able to collect those guys' cards too and just have them, not even sell them or anything, but like have them and maybe trade for something else. But I mean, it's just exciting to have all those guys.
You're going to have everybody love you. If you're going to sit there and you're going to be like, I just want to trade cards with my friends, my players. Like, people are going to, like, fall in love because everybody's selling now.
Right.
I don't know how much you're aware of that. I talked with Kyle Manzardo with the Tampa Bay Rays, first baseman, big top prospect. And he actually collects. And he was talking about how he got, like, a Trout rookie card.
Yeah.
And he got it slabbed. And he's kind of, like, saving those type of things. Did that blow your mind when we were up there and we were talking about the Superfractor and I looked at you and I was like, dude, that's a car.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy to think about like how like you just have like a card and you just sign it and then maybe one day you'll end up looking online and it's going to be like worth a significant amount of money that you don't even like you can't even fathom. You know?
Yeah, so, and that never came out with your dad and was it almost something you were just like, I don't need to be into cards because literally these are like my friends, like all these players.
I mean, I never really, like, I guess I never really collected cards as a kid. I mean, I definitely have some, like, just laying around the house or something like that, but I never really, like, got into it. I never really thought about it as anything until, like, you see, like, everybody, like, getting cards now and then being, like, sold and stuff like that.
Yeah. Your dad has a really unique signature. It's a very beautiful cursive signature. And I watch yours up there, and I really like it. And I don't even know how you do it as fast as you do. It is perfect. You have a perfect
thing. It's just repetition, doing it a bunch. I mean, like, sometimes in class I'll just get bored and just do it. Like, if I'm not doing anything in class, like, barely paying attention, just kind of, like, doing it over and over and over.
Was there an evolution to that autograph?
Yeah, definitely. Like, it started out, like, just being, like, cursive writing, and then it just kind of, like, over time just, like, changed. And, I mean, I ended up with what I have now, so.
When was the first time someone asked you for your autograph?
Probably, like, 15, maybe, something like that. I went to an event down in Florida, the Jupiter tournament, and that was like the first time. And we showed up at an 8 a.m. game, and I had to be there at like 7. And there was a guy already waiting there, and I was like surprised. Like, it was like crazy to think about, but yeah, that might have been my first time. But it kind of like slows down over time.
What does a 15 year old do when he's getting up for an autograph?
It's like, I how do you even know who I am? You know, it's kind of like that. But I mean, it's just one of those things that.
I won't take up too much more time. Jordan Lawler, this has been a little trend that's gone on. Him and Zach Veen, Benny Montgomery, who's with the Rockies. You guys are in the same complex.
Yep.
Benny is a very unique character, and he decided to mess around with his cards. And I don't know if you've ever seen this. He drew a picture. His nickname, everyone in his life called him Benny and the Jets.
Yeah.
So he drew an airplane on one of his Bowman cards and went Benny and the Jets. And everybody loved it.
Yeah.
And then him and Jordan created a picture with both of their cards where one did half and the other did half.
Yeah.
Which everybody was chasing. Yeah. You ever think you'll get down that road where maybe you just like little smiley face,
maybe,
little something?
Maybe. Maybe the next time I have like a 1-of-1 card, maybe I'll put something special on there. But I mean, probably not. I'll probably just end up signing like how I do.
Just if you ever do, just like think about me. Like everyone can think about me just a little bit.
Yeah, it was that one time, and now I'm doing it. So,
last of things here, what was like the impetus to want to come here? This is like a really unique thing. Usually, you're getting an interesting experience. Your first, I believe, this is like your first Bowman card. You're doing it in this like really cool house with a whole bunch of guys.
Right.
There's like tons of guys in here. That's not the case for most people. They get some like boxes and they're kind of like doing it alone and stuff. What was like, why did you want to come here and do this?
I just heard it was going to be a fun event. There's a lot of extra stuff that is going on here. It's a lot more fun than just sitting at home and doing it by yourself. So I heard it was going to be fun to just come out here and do that. So I wanted to see how it was and just come experience it.
I'm rooting for you big time, not just as a Diamondback fan, but I love seeing it. And hopefully someday we see a smiley face on a car
hopefully.
Or something. So
yeah.
Thanks, man.
I appreciate it.
There you go. That is the interview. Drew Jones, Arizona Diamondbacks outfielder. I really didn't know how it was going to go. I really had no idea. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. We took a picture together. We were chatting over a couple other things. There was a little bit you can hear, especially in the beginning, and I'm not surprised about it at all. You know, the answer, you know, like, oh yeah, just going to do our best. Like it's a very classic athlete answer. Sometimes you don't get that from younger guys. I mean, but is there a kid that is more, and I say kid, I mean, this is, you know, he's an adult now that is net worth. He signed a contract that's worth more than I'll make in my entire life. But the point is like, is there somebody that is more prepared for this? You know, this is the life he grew up in. His father, Andrew Jones, he has been in the spotlight for many, many years. It's not a surprise or anything like that. But, you know, he warmed up as it went on. But we're also in this like house with hundreds of people, and we're just in this little closet room that he pulled off a great interview. He did a great, even when it was like, you know, not getting into detail about some stuff. But I thought it was telling.
And I think it's very important to understand that from a health perspective, he is playing in minor league spring training games. Fun fact, the next day I was out at the Diamondbacks and he was full go. He was in uniform. They got really weird, by the way, by the batting cages, so I couldn't do a bunch of film, but he was hitting off a tee and then hitting. He was in full uniform, and then they went out on a side field and did some work. So, like, that's where the health is at, if you're curious. And as he said, he's going to play in some minor league spring training games. So that's a really good sign if you've been sitting back, because I feel like there's a lot of pub right now with Jackson Holliday because he's been in camp. There's been some video. You know, he's been healthy. He had some run last year, and it hasn't been that with Drew Jones because of the injury. Kind of similar to like what happened with Jordan Lawler. I think that's going to help and change here in a couple weeks. Minor league spring training, the official report date is Monday, March 6th. And then March 13th, I believe, or 14th, is the very first start of the minor league spring training games. So they've got a week to all get there next week, report, work through the training, and then they're going to start playing games on the backfield. They're not televised. They're not anything. The only way to get it is if people like me are out there. And I'm going to try to get out to games as much as possible so we can see some of those. And obviously, Drew is going to be number one focus of getting to get some video on. So the reason I wasn't there the next night, by the way, which I was invited, and there were other guys, I heard it was crazier, was because my dear friend Dennis Sidler with Sid's Graphs, who has an autograph company, who has actually has Corbin Carroll's an exclusive client, invited me out because Jackson Churio and Oscar Colas were doing a signing, and I sat in on that, and it was wild. Jackson Churio signed so much stuff, was fantastic, looks crazy physically impressive, and let's just say a little birdie had mentioned that there's a very high possibility that Jackson Churio does start AA this year. I know that might not seem like breaking news or anything. He got a small taste of AA, and there were some, you know, little struggles I don't care at all about, but what wouldn't be uncommon is them to send him to high A and then go to double A. But it looks like the word is he's going to go straight to double A, which is just furthermore ridiculously impressive of the movement that he's having. It's really crazy, to be honest with you. Good mood. You know, he's kind of a relaxed guy, but he had a ton of stuff to sign, and he is really filling into a very mature body. And he's a tall guy too. I think I kind of forget about that. Like, I've seen him in different points of his career, and probably no surprise, this is like the most physically fit I've seen him. And this will be another guy that's going to get into those minor league spring training games, which is going to be really fun. And then we get Oscar Colas, who is a big guy. Big hands, big power, and has actually had a really good spring. He was out there, and fun fact, he had gone to the Topps house, and they actually told us how crazy it was the next day. Corbin Carroll, I guess, went back. Topps had multiple events going on. I really wanted to grab Corbin, but I didn't want to just disturb him, and same with Matt Mervis. But they had a bunch more prospects that were out there doing prospects and rookies, doing all those signings, and Oscar went there for a little bit and then came to Dennis's to do a signing. And you know, I wish I could have got like information out there. Colas, very, very little English. Jackson definitely does speak. Both agents were there. Agents do the translating. Jackson, I can tell, definitely like understands probably most all of it, but, you know, speaks through or questions are asked through the agent, which were great, by the way. They're really great guys. And it was just really interesting to get just the nuggets of information out there that one cool thing that Baseball America would probably love was I was talking about like, you know, oh, you got to be sick of seeing this card now. The thing that was like the coolest for them was the Baseball America. Was seeing Jackson Churio on the Baseball America was like a surreal feeling, he had said. And there's something very humbling in my mind when these guys acknowledge milestones. I think there are people out there, usually it gets into like veterans and stuff like that. I think you get jaded over time, but like milestones end up not becoming important, stats, stuff like that. And I get some of it, but to me, there's always just something I think just like, you know, it's like special when players acknowledge something uniquely. Dominic Canzone getting his first Bowman card, or, you know, Jackson Churio kind of being like, this is surreal to be on a Baseball America. I think those things are incredible. And I think those are really cool. And I really like that from a personality perspective that he was out there. But that's why I wasn't at that house the next day, which maybe could have got an interview or two. I was just hanging out with Jackson Chourio and Oscar Cola. So that's a pretty good 2 days, right? Hanging out with Drew Jones, Corbin Carroll, Matt Mervis, Jackson Chourio, and Oscar Colas. That made out for a couple good pieces of content, and obviously Drew Jones did. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. And if you're interested in further talk around it, I'm going to have an article on The Athletic that is going to be focused around that very rare superfractor.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Say, I like you. I like you so much I'm going to make you my partner. All you have to do is find the gold and I'll share it with you 50-50.
Prospect One.
News and notes, prospect edition for spring training. I have been, now I'll tell you this, I've been at obviously a ton of camps. The prospects I'm seeing are a little fewer and far between than I thought I was going to see. I guess some guys just haven't reported. Also, I think the WBC is throwing a little bit of a wrinkle in and like when the guys are coming out. One thing I've noticed with spring that is more apparent than ever before is camps are ending earlier than they've ever ended before. Like, I was at the Royals the other day. They were done by 11:15. That's wild. They opened the gates at 10. That's crazy. These things used to be open till 1, easy, just even in this time. And then obviously when the minor league stuff happens, they kind of keep the gates open all day because there's games and stuff. But they've been closing gates when minor leaguers are practicing. So I am seeing guys, but I'm not just seeing everybody. The Mariners, I've probably caught the most guys. One of the biggest bummer pieces of information, though, and we'll tie this into, this is a lot of news and just performance-based stuff, was we talked pretty aggressively about Felton Celston and Ethan Salas and how they're here stateside. Well, Felton Celston, apparently there's a visa issue, and that visa issue is going to keep him from coming over stateside anytime soon, that he's going to stay over in the Dominican, and he's also going to play in the DSL. So that's not great. That doesn't mean he won't come over for complex at some point, but based off of what they said, he's not coming until late summer. So what it would probably be, if we're lucky, is it would be like halfway through the Dominican Summer League, maybe whether he's performing well or not, he would then come over to complex. If he doesn't, then maybe it's going to be something closer to Dominican Summer League ends and he comes over for instructs, which kind of stinks. Here's a cool one, though. I caught and talked to Ethan Salas yesterday. He was at Padres camp. And actually, I'm not going to tell you who, but one of the prospects that I was with, their agent is Salas's agent and told me some pretty impressive things about Ethan Salas. Let me just tell you this without like giving away the stuff. The thought on the Salas camp is not only is he going to break stateside, it might not even just be rookie ball where he breaks camp. That's the thought process going around right now of what's happening. Because now Ethan Salas is the unicorn here. He's a unicorn that he came, I believe, last Monday. This is the unicorn that is a 16-year-old player that is here stateside working in camp. And, you know, sky's the limit on what they're actually going to do. They could send him to extended, go to rookie. Our minds could be blown and he could go to A ball. I mean, a lot of that stuff is out there, but I got to see him yesterday and I was kind of thrown back because he is a bigger kid than you think, especially at 16 years old, probably 6'1". I don't even remember what he's listed at. Just really smart, engaging guy. I didn't get a chance. I was actually focused. If you saw a video, Blake Snell was going up against Juan Soto. So I didn't go to the backfields, but I will have a lot of focus on him, but he's in camp. Pretty physically impressive body. Usually like 16, 17 year old kids coming really from anywhere. It doesn't matter, like high school, but even more so, especially coming from like the DR or something. Just see like skinnier bodies and whatnot. That really isn't the case here. I look at Ethan Salas and I see the entire path of how his body fills out and it's good. Like there's not a lot of question. Like there's plenty of guys you can look at and you're like, I don't know. Is he going to feel like where? You just don't know exactly. you can see the exact path of where Ethan Salas is. So I got to see them. But the point was, is like, I'm not seeing all the guys all the time. There's not a ton of work. It seems like a little bit less than usual. And maybe it has to do with the WBC. I don't know. Camps are just a little bit more odd. I would also acknowledge, I don't know if I've ever had a year where I've been at there every single day. I've been there since the day workouts opened until spring training. I feel like I've been there a month, and spring training games haven't even been going on a month yet. So I'm trying to also acknowledge maybe that's a little bit of the difference, where the spring stuff will start up next week. But let's go through some news and notes. While I go through here, I'll talk to you about some guys I've seen here and there and whatnot. Corbin Carroll. So Corbin, first game in spring, single, stolen base, celebration. That's what we do. We don't need to go overboard, of course. Anything evolved around like spring and celebrating, or, you know, just like victory lapping, that type of stuff. It's super overblown, of course, but, you know, I have been at the tippy top. I hope, at least, obviously I'm a Diamondbacks fan, but like, I hope I have spoken enough about Corbin Carroll to be in that camp, because there's a lot of people that are coming over. And I'm not saying like prospect people haven't liked him, but every day there are more and more defenders of Corbin Carroll. And I've been doing this, I mean, since I started back up on CBS last November, talking about it with Eno, you know, talking about the floor I can of Corbin Carroll, that not only is he the fastest guy in the world, statistically, he's a great base stealer, but he makes really great contact, and that power is real. And another one of those facts that jumped out, I think Chris Clegg shared this, Corbin Carroll hit a double yesterday, as Tuesday, that had a max EV that was higher than anything he did in the majors in his short stint. Because people are very, very focused on these short stints of what these guys did. And it's cool because it's data, and it's cool because it's tangible, but like, you know, the whole like, why didn't he steal a whole bunch? And like, it was really skinny, and I don't know about the power, and he did. It's like, okay, let's just like let it mature. I guess you can ask the questions, and that's fine, especially when you're not being like an idiot about it. But, you know, I've continuously said, that's fine, you can ask those questions, but here's what I think. I think he's going to steal. I think he's going to lead the Diamondbacks in stolen bases. I think he's going to hit more homers than people really give him credit for. And he's probably going to walk out of the season as the best Diamondback player, bar none. And everyone's like, okay, okay, okay. And now he's out there doing it, and he's breaking his own EV stuff in short sample sizes last year. He was running early. He's hitting leadoff, and everybody's on board. Good. Join up. Hopefully you have your shares. He's my number one overall prospect. Gunnar Henderson, also fantastic. Take nothing away. But I have been team Corbin Carroll since the beginning. I'm obviously a little bit of a homer. What I'd say is it's just like really good to see that he's finding some success early. You know, it would obviously, it wouldn't set us back, but we would definitely pay attention if we're like, oh, you know, we're off to a really slow start. Like, you don't want to see the slowest of slow starts with Corbin Carroll coming right out the gate. He's hitting 300. He's got three hits in three games and nine at bats, one double, one single. He's walked and he's got a stolen base. Now, you know, technically, there are two other opportunities to steal, and he didn't, because he had a walk and he had one other single. So you want to see more of that. But he's also scored three runs. He scored a run in every single time he's gotten a hit. The Corbin Carroll stuff is looking great. What is there tangibly to talk about here? There's nothing. But as far as spring goes, we're off to a really good start, and this is exactly what we wanted. We wanted this when we're going to get hyped up about the number one overall prospect. And I'm not victory lapping. Because one thing I acknowledge, I think I was telling Bogman this, like, unfortunately for me, I'm going to be tied to him probably forever, but really this year. I will hear, if he fails, I'll definitely hear from five times more people than I will if he's awesome. You know, there'll be a couple nice people that'll be like, man, you nailed that. But if he really bombs out and is like the next Kelnick, I'll hear from way more people about that. So I'm really happy to see him succeeding and, you know, just really being involved around baseball. And he's a fantastic player, and he's doing really good. One other Diamondbacks note I kind of want to mention, not that he's finding a lot of early success, but I found it very interesting, is Jordan Lawler's been playing a decent amount. Nick Ahmed is dealing with a thing, like he always is. And I've seen Jordan Lawler start a couple of the first early games. He hasn't really had a lot of offensive success. He's only had one hit. So he's going to need to pick that up. But I've found it very interesting that the Diamondbacks have been using him in that spot very early on. The Diamondbacks aren't losing like a grip of players for the WBC. They are going to lose Ketel Marte, which is, you know, hurts, and they're going to lose Alec Thomas. But this is an opportunity. If like Nick Ahmed is not there, who are the Diamondbacks? What are they going to do? They didn't move Rojas over there, which that's what I kind of thought was going to happen. They do have Perdomo, and Perdomo's a safe option, and he's playing there. But Lawler has been, I think Perdomo also can be a third base, second base option. Just pointing it out. Like, I think it's very interesting that Lawler's been getting the time he has very early on in camp, and especially getting starts. That, to me, it kind of says the Diamondbacks really see him in their plans this year. And I think that's kind of been in question. I think Lawler does have potential to come up this year. I don't know. I don't think he has a chance to break camp, because I think the team would just go Perdomo if Nick Ahmed is out. But, you know, if he starts picking up and he starts really hitting, don't discount it. Don't, you know, let's not say that he can't. Jordan Walker started off very hot. Kind of got everything going in spring. Went 2-for-4 in his first game, hit a huge bomb. Believe he hit a double yesterday. So he's had a couple hits under his belt. What's been so weird and fascinating about the Cardinals is what they're doing with that outfield spot. And it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, anything specific, like they're giving the job to Walker. But I have told you, I think there's a real opportunity regardless of like the depth that the position has, that there's an opportunity he could make this roster. I'm actually looking at it right now. He hit a double down left field line and just got to second base really quick, crush. You can see his athleticism overall. And what that roster situation was having Tyler O'Neill move off of a corner and vie for that center field gig. Now, they did have Lars Nootbaar play a game in center, and they did have Dylan Carlson play in right. So it's not as dramatic as it first seemed, where in my eyes, it was like, oh, I mean, I'll tell you this, Lars Nootbaar is locked in. That's not even a question anymore. I had a couple of people be like, okay, well, if you like Lars Nootbaar so much, you know, how is that going to work? It works, because they've made it work. And Tyler O'Neill and Carlson seem to be the guys that are like really fighting. Now, Carlson moving to right definitely shows that at the end of the day, maybe what they do is Lars in left, Carlson in right, and Tyler O'Neill in center. But I think that Tyler O'Neill moving to center, if he can really do it, opens up even more of an opportunity for Jordan Walker to break camp. The reason why they won't is if they don't move anybody. If they keep everybody, I don't know what you do. Like, you can't have Carlson and Walker, and then you got Wanya Pez. But I think Carlson is on the way out, and I also wouldn't discount that Wanya Pez could be the guy that's on the way out. And if Wanya Pez goes, it's a little bit more of an opportunity for Walker. I don't know if the Cardinals are hard-pressed, but hard-pressed is in they have to have a rookie break camp so they can get an extra pick. They should be cognizant of it, especially if he can do it. He's also played center, so there's flexibility with Walker there. He could be their DH, learn in the majors. Athletically, he's there. He can run. He's one of the better bats. I think there's a real, real opportunity because he is also succeeding early on. Double, homer, it's good stuff. But it's no assurance at this point. But it does make me think, when I think about proximity and I think about the prospect rankings and stuff like that, it does make me kind of think about where we put Jordan Walker. And I've had a couple people get like, when, you know, Jordan Walker's going to break camp, it's like, how can he be blah, blah, blah. I have Walker below Lawler because I do think long-term Lawler is going to be a little bit better statistically, but there is something about Walker breaking camp if he were that really kind of gets me going. Interestingly enough, Lawler and Walker are like a month age apart. I mean, Jordan Walker's not even like 21 years old yet, I don't think. So if he breaks camp, that's going to be wild. Maybe Jordan Lawler's not far behind him. Moving down the list, Jason Dominguez has had a really, really fun start to spring. Demolished a solo home run on the opening Saturday game in the Grapefruit League against the Phillies. It was a 420-foot blast to left center field. This was off of Ben Bowden. Then next, I think it was the Monday game, 2 days later, singled, walk, scored a run as the Yankees ended up pulling a win against the Tigers there. Jason Dominguez has had a nice little start. There's no chance he's breaking camp. I'd say there's no chance he's coming up this year. I think there's still a lot that they've kind of got to work through with Jason Dominguez.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are too easy.
The felony is still there, that they're waiting for it to just be turned over to a misdemeanor, and then he'll be good to go. It sounds encouraging because he was also working with the major leaguers when I was over at camp. So he was on the major league side working with all the big guys. That makes me feel like they've got some optimism. I have absolutely no idea where he's going to go. I need to watch the swing a little bit because he is so huge. But boy, if that old Christian Robinson who made contact is still this guy, I mean, he's going to hit 70 homers. I don't think he will be. He's missed 3 years of production, but he's just ginormous muscle. I've never seen a transformation like that in my life. So that's sitting out there. Did see Christian Robinson, and I'm hopefully to see, you know, a whole bunch more guys as I go to camp. Royals prospects I haven't really seen around. Anthony Gutierrez with the Rangers real quick has filled out. Watch out. He got a little bit taller. He's filled out. Daniel Cueva looks bigger. Both those guys look significantly bigger. I've seen Yason Moribel. Doesn't look bigger. But Anthony Gutierrez is someone that really stands out where he's kind of floating around being a breakout prospect. He was very skinny during ACL. Looks like he's probably put on at least 15 pounds, maybe a little bit more. He's just filling out into more of like an adult body, which is like really what we want to see, especially if he succeeds with that. He's going to put up some big power. So those are some camp notes. I share them over at InThisLeague.com. If you guys want to check those out on the Patreon, I try to share extra notes, and that's where my prospect ranks are. We will be updated at the beginning of next week. So I really hope you guys consider signing up. You also are like directly supporting the work that I do. So I really appreciate it when you do so. I want to give a shout out to Dennis Sidler. Go over to Sid's Graphs if you guys like autographs. If you like Oscar Colas, Jackson Cheerio, Corbin Carroll, those are all his clients. And I appreciate him having me out. And check out fantrax.com/InThisLeague. That is it. I'm literally going to hit stop and I'm going over to the Royals right now. And then I'm going to hit some more backfields and then hopefully talk to more prospects, see some more stuff, and I'll try to share more videos with you. Coming up next week, I think my attempt is going to be the breakout episode. So I got to start getting that book. So just be on the lookout or the bold prediction breakouts for the year. And I got to start getting everybody booked. So be on the lookout for that. And Rates and Barrels next week, James Anderson is going to be joining me. So lots of fun stuff. Follow me on Twitter at @IsItTheWelsh. Until next time, friends, thank you for hanging out with me. As always, hopefully you guys enjoyed the interview. Thank you to Drew Jones, by the way, for doing that as well. I'm Chris Welsh, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.